Thankful to fill in for Ron, and we've been in a series in Colossians. And just before we get started, the enemy is really real. An attack on this message is real. He does not want you to have the information this morning that we are looking at in this book of Colossians. As you recall, we have been looking at in Colossians so far just the preeminence of Jesus, the supremacy of Jesus, the sufficiency, the sustainability of Jesus. He is all of that, whether the enemy will, let you have that information or not. He is more powerful than the enemy, and this is the truth that is coming into your heart today, because that will change your life, that he is above all other things. There is no one greater than Jesus, and that's why what we celebrate at that table is so significant to us. But what does that mean then for my life, my day-to-day? And that's what's beautiful through the book of Colossians, is that starts rolling out to you like this is an incredible mystery that was given to you in the last part of chapter 1, which was Christ in you, the hope of glory. A mystery that's been hidden for ages past. They had trusted in God and knew he was going to make a way for them. Well, now it came true in the person of Jesus Christ. And this is the mystery Paul is so excited to tell everyone this morning, because do you realize Jesus lives in you? This power, this authority, this life is, it's like dwelling in you. This life that you're trying to live now to move from sin is possible. It's possible because Jesus lives in you. So this was the cool reality that we started rolling out these last couple of weeks. And then even last week, as Ron was sharing, what's a shame is that we still, in like the end of chapter 2 there, we were looking at how, like, why are we still stuck in this old system of things? Why are we trying so hard? Like, we got to do this X number of steps for me to be able to really live this life out for God. And Paul's trying to, again, remind them. It's like, no. It's Christ now in you. Christ is your sufficiency. Christ is your ability. Don't look so hard into, like, the mechanism of, like, because even communion, like, it's what's behind what that represents, what changes your life. Drinking something and eating some bread is, we do that all the time. Does it have any significance to your body? Well, if it's from the Lord, with his power, then everything makes a difference through that. But if it's just bread and grape juice or wine, it probably doesn't have any difference to you. It's the power behind these things, these activities, these sacraments that we take, or the sacrifices that we make. It's the broken heart behind it that says, God, I am wrong before you, and I take up your forgiveness. And that's where the power is. It's Christ working these things out through you. So this is the good news today, is that we're going to open it up again, and we're going to look at chapter 3 of Colossians, and there's all kinds of good news for you of what Jesus is going to do through you because he lives in you. So before doing that, I wanted to just remind us of a great verse in the Bible. 2 Timothy 3:16 says all of this here, all scripture is God-breathed. It's like a breath of God, of life to you, okay? And this is the good news. It's good for correcting us. Some of us need to be corrected today. Some of us just need to be taught. We're ignorant and we don't know. So it'll teach us. It will correct us. Some of us might need even a good rebuking. Like, I've been stubborn. And the Lord might tell you today, and I pray that he does, if that's you, like, wake up. Come on. You're fighting this here. And, give us a little bit of a slap on the side of the face to wake us up to reality. It also will train us up in righteousness, it says. It's going to train us in the life that we're truly going to be able to bring glory to God. That's the power of what we're going to this morning. So I just want to pray in that, and then we're going to open the word and dive in. Amen. So, Father, thank you for this breath of life today, that the words that have been penned onto this page have come from you to us. And so I want to receive it humbly this morning, and if I need to be corrected in something, Lord, correct my direction. If I just need to be taught about something so I can start doing it, then teach me, show me, like, let me see it and hear it today. I mean, if I'm stubborn in an area and I just need to be rebuked in something, like, that was wrong, then May I receive that? In all of this, Lord, it is training me up to be the man, or for us here, the men and women of God that you desire us to be. So we come to it now. We take it in. We receive it for the life that it is over our hearts and our minds. In Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen. We'll turn to Colossians 3. It will be on the screen behind us here too, but I'm just going to be breaking it down verse by verse this morning. So if you have a Bible, feel free to just keep it open there to Colossians 3. In verse 1, it says, if then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated, at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked when you were living in them, but now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, or circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassion hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with thankfulness to your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So good. I'm going to break this down into three sections for us this morning. And this first idea I just want to bring up is shifting our perspective from to the eternal rather than the earthly. And if you do want to write notes down, I think there might be a section in your bulletin if you want to write these notes down. But shift your perspective eternal rather than earthly. Look at verse 1 there. It says, if then you've been raised with Christ, if this is a reality, you've come now to Jesus, well then seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. There's this new reality. Remember how that said that transferred into the kingdom of his beloved son earlier in chapter 1? There's a whole new reality playing out now, and we just need to get our eyes fixed on this new kingdom. What does this kingdom look like? What's Jesus about? What are the things that are valued to him? What are valued to God? And so this point here of seeking spiritual values, I think this is what you see here. I like this word seek. Seek the things that God cares about. Well, what does he value? I mean, I know the things I valued in my earthly focused mind. I'm all too aware of those. But what about God? What does he value? And so you begin to see how shifting our thinking is really important. Our perspective needs to begin to have a way longer, way bigger span than this little like focused world I tend to look at. God is outside of all of that, and he's a big God, and he has a lot of things that he's actively involved in and doing. And so what is that? So, you know, having an internal perspective in many ways is a real key to your life. Because now you're starting to understand why things are what they are. You're starting to get some perspective on why things might be playing out the way they are. And what difference God's going to make in all of that. And that's really important to you. You know, 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen, right? Because the things that are seen is temporary, and the things that are unseen are eternal. Like, that's a cool verse. Again, it's just getting us to get our eyes off of things that are temporary. Things that are just going to be maybe here today and then gone tomorrow, but really not as much of a benefit to you as if we can get our eyes on things that are unseen. Like, unseen, what does that mean? You know? Well, God's going to open our eyes to that. Maybe he's wanting to get us to think about the attitudes that are going on right now that are more unseen, right? You know an attitude that you have in your mind that's kind of hidden from other people. I want you to look at that attitude. I want to talk about that because that's really important. That's going to affect your life. That's going to affect someone else's life. Let's get you thinking that way. You know, Matthew chapter 6, another great little Sermon on the Mount where Jesus is teaching the people and he says, you know, don't lay up for yourself treasures here on earth where rust and moths and stuff will like corrode that, right? Or the robber will come in and steal it from you. He's like, lay up treasures in heaven where moth and rust won't destroy and the robber won't steal. You know, later in that passage, he says, seek, and there's that word again, first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added. You're like, don't worry about this, like, earthly stuff. You're really too focused on earthly things right now. And most of that stuff is all just temporal. It's going to go away. Let's get your thinking different, okay? Let's start getting you shifted towards thinking like God thinks, thinking about, you know, a really cool, there's always a ton of stuff that comes to me when I teach is like, I think of in Corinthians, there's a chapter 2, there's a great chapter to read where it says you can have the mind of Christ. And look it up. In 1 Corinthians 2, he gives you the mind of Christ. Like, you can think like Jesus thinks. You can start understanding and getting perspective like he has understanding. That's awesome to us. That's so good. How about, like, eternally thinking how that would even affect us with spiritual warfare? A couple stories I was thinking of is, remember when Daniel was praying and fasting and it didn't seem like answers were coming? Well, do you remember that an angel was trying to get to Daniel and was being held up by the enemy for 21 days until he calls in Michael, the archangel? That's pretty cool. And then he busts through that line. And here comes the message to Daniel. And what's beautiful about that story is it's a reminder. You know, sometimes you're praying, right? Praying and nothing seems to be happening. Well, do you consider for a moment that the enemy might be really frustrating some of those plans, delaying it a bit? This was what was cool is God heard the prayer on day one and sent that messenger. But there was a massive opposition to that coming to Daniel, to where it even took Michael, the archangel, to bust through that. But he bust through it and brought that message to Daniel. But gaining an internal perspective that there's angels out there, that God is, there's spiritual realm warfare going around your life because your life matters to God and it has power because it's in Christ that you're living that out. And so it will change lives. It will bring glory to God. So he's going to stop it in any means. How about Elisha's servant whose eyes were open so he could see the angels surrounding and protecting him? This was a cool story in Kings where this king of Syria sent to go surround, you know, Elisha, and they were going to go get him. And so the servant's out there, and he's like, there's this army. What are we going to do? He's running to Elisha, and Elisha prays that God would open his eyes to see the angels that were surrounding them, okay, which was going to keep them safe. And so his eyes were open. The angels were there all along. His servant just didn't see them. He needed to kind of get that perspective. Like, God, open my eyes to the fact that there's some spiritual reality going on in my life. It's not just the physical going on. There is a spiritual dynamic. And so it was a cool story how he sees that. And then the rest of that story is cool how, you know, he blinds the enemy and leads them off. And so it's a pretty cool story to look up. In 2 Kings 6. You know, quite honestly, too, this internal perspective will really infuse you with joy and purpose to get understanding about that God has a plan, that he's in control, and to start knowing that for what it is, to start seeing it. It actually will give you some hope and some encouragement and some perseverance to push through. Maybe it's a difficult marriage right now. Maybe it's a hard job situation. Maybe you're taking care of some ailing parents or a kid, you know, and it's just hard times. And it's like to have a perspective from God over that, to know that he can see you through this whole thing. I know you feel and see only this, but trust me, like, we can get through this. And there's something going on even bigger than that in the situation. I'm going to show you the good that's going to come out of it. This is the cool thing about God and this perspective that we get from him. Look at verse 2. It says, set your mind on things above, not on things on earth. I love, you know, that he's bringing up our minds. Your thinking needs to change. My life verse was Romans 12:2, which was, be not conformed any longer to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to prove this perfect, pleasing will of God. But the renewing of our mind, the New Living Translation is pretty cool in that verse. It says, let him change the way you think. Let Jesus change the way you think about a situation. I draw so many conclusions on stuff that's happening in real time, and I don't have all the information, unfortunately, but I'm drawing some pretty bad conclusions that's going to be to my fault and probably the fault of others. And he would love to help us change the way we think about a situation, to start getting some bigger thinking and some better thinking, quite honestly, and not so much selfish thoughts and selfish-based thinking. Really thinking about what God would think about so-and-so. You know, do we realize some of the people we struggle with around us, God loves and died for? It's like, man, you know, that's hard to come to grips with that, because I really struggle with this person. But if I'm going to get God's perspective and God's direction, I need to start letting my thinking change about how I view people, how I serve people, you know, and how I walk these things out with him. Verses 3 and 4 are really cool there. It says, for you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. And again, that verse 4 there, when it says, when Christ, who is your life. Like, again, perspective-wise right here, right now, today, get this. You got to get this. Christ is your life. He is your life right now. You're breathing in today. Your ability to go out these doors and to stay, you know, walking in God's goodness and his provision is coming from the life of Christ in you. It's hidden in him. It is secure in him. And so, you know, in kind of wrapping up this idea of eternal thinking, let that be your new reality. It's me and Jesus. And he is going to live through me today. He is going to walk with me today. He's going to guide me. He's going to strengthen me. And my life is in him, in Christ. Those words in are really important. In you, not like a ways away and kind of looking, waiting for you to screw up, and then I'll help you up. He's actually going to say, watch out for that little pothole right there. You might not want to step in that. That'll probably hurt or get you messy. You know, you could listen to him because he's in you. He's talking to you. So Christ in you, this new life, let's get our heads wrapped around that. Life isn't based any longer in material things as my center, or the center of my life being my job, or the center of my life being a status or a way I'm looked at. I mean, we put a lot of weight on those things in earthly thinking. He's saying, no, Christ is all about Jesus in my life. He is my center. What he says goes. How I measure to him is how I want to measure my life. Because the way he measures you is beautiful. He forgives you. He loves you. He believes in you. The second point this morning is dealing with our sin nature. Look at verse 5 and 6. It says, put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. Sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. Gosh, you know, when I hear wrath of God, I immediately think of, like in Genesis and Noah's time, when it says God's heart was grieved. It was grieved because he said the heart of men were just inclined to evil all the time, it says. Like, we were just bent towards sin and just living apart from God, not wanting to listen to him. And it got ugly. I mean, that's what it said. Like, the heart, it was all over the place. It was rampant. It was just a sin life going on. And the wrath of God came down. He saved a remnant of Noah and his family, but the flood came, right? It wiped out. The wrath of God is real. We have to answer to sin. And sin is unacceptable to God. He is holy. He is pure. Now, he made a way. He paid for that sin in our life. So this is how amazing this is. When Christ is now living in us, dwelling in us, how can that be with sin that exists? That's because Christ is expelling out that sin in our life, just like the table represented today, right? Away with the sin, and now what lives in me is the righteousness of Christ. The sin is not on me anymore. He took that, right? Understand that. Like, this is the reality now that we live, but you have to deal with sin. You cannot let that stuff just sit there any longer. This truth is telling us now this stuff goes away. This is what we were before Christ, and this is all we did and knew, and we were ignorant, and we were dumb, and a little, you know, stubborn. People are really stubborn. We like to hold on to these things rather than the free, loving, joyful things of God. But sexual immorality, passion, I mean, relate to some of these things. Some of these you're probably going to connect to even recently, where you might have think of a time just coveting something someone else has, or just the challenges of lust and things in this day is difficult. But there's another choice. I don't have to choose those anymore. There's another choice. God's going to roll some of those out to us at the last point this morning, but I need to start choosing something different than that. This stuff was death to me. This stuff ruined my life. So those words, putting off, you know, consider yourself dead. Consider yourself dead. That phrase to these things. You know, a dead person can't do anything. They're just dead. They're just laying there. So it'd kind of be cool to relate this way in thinking, you are dead to that. So now you can't do anything. You're not going to do those because you're dead to it. How could you actively do it if you're dead? So consider yourself dead to that. Like, you can't even live it anymore because you literally died. So my life is over here now in Christ, which means now I'm living into these new things. That analogy that he's really, or that picture analogy he's given, is a strong word, but I think it's meant to be that. Put to death. Those things don't live anymore in us and through us in these practices. Look at verse 7 through 9 there. It says, in these you too once walked when you were living in them, but now you must put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another. I was thinking of another point here of just don't live in denial. You know, again, we got to deal with the sin. This wording right here, it says, in these you too once walked. And there's another list of them here. Anger, wrath, I mean, as if the list wasn't big enough already. We can relate to these things. Do we experience those in our week sometimes? Just this anger that comes up towards someone, or just, awful language, you know, obscene talk there, or lying. We lie pretty easily to people because we don't think they will know the truth, you know. And so we just say lies and people will believe us. But he says, you've walked in these things too, but not anymore. This is, you were taught something different now. So let's get rid of this stuff, okay? But relate to the reality that it has happened in your life. Don't deny that this stuff exists. If it's there, I mean, we're our worst enemy. If you lie to yourself, the stuff will just stay there. If I could just be honest, because God has made a way. He actually he's made a way. I can confess. He will take that from me, and then he will forgive me, and now I can live free. That's the process. He's given you a process, but you have to go through that process. Man, my attitude is awful right now. So put it off. God, forgive me for having such a bad attitude right now, right? Just help me to be renewed in my attitude right now, today, this moment. And he will come into that. And that's that putting off, that's that dying to the self and taking up this new life in God. So just, you know, cooperate with God. He's moving you from death to life. These things are death to you. Believe me, trust me. If we don't deal with sin, we're going to just live in frustration. We're going to miss some of the blessing of God that would come if we would just move from this sin and live in the means of God. Then he can open up his channel of blessings on you, because you're going to receive it for what it is. You're going to see it for what it is. We need to deal with that sin. I want to bring up a friend of mine Matt. I was talking with him the other day, and we got talking about this, and this idea of dealing with sin. Let me just set this up here real quick. And so, so I asked Matt if he wouldn't mind just sharing for a couple minutes here about a story he was telling me when it was just, I was like, so, you know, this is a cool story because this is about your journey, about dealing with some stuff. And God spoke some things to you. And so I just want you to share that story you were sharing with me the other day.
Everybody pray for me right now. I'm pretty nervous. you know, I've been on a journey with God ever since I can remember. I grew up in church, and when I really started to take the Word of God seriously, and I really wanted to see change in my life, it was a struggle. I mean, I was doing ministry, I was involved in all kinds of things, and yet I found myself in bondage, and I denied it. You know, I said, no, I'm a child of God. You know, I know this stuff. I believe this stuff. But I think there was a sense, of denial. And as you were reading the Colossians, I realized that all that stuff on that screen I had in my life. And, you know, there comes a point when you get tired of failing God. You get tired of sinning against God, if you really repent. And I was just at that point where I was like, okay, you know, Matt, who are you? What are you? Do you really believe this stuff, or is this just something that, you know, you are going along with? And if so, why? Why waste your time? So it was in that moment when I just started to ask God to reveal to me the things that I needed to get rid of. And it was funny because, you know, I read the Bible I read the Bible in its entirety for the first time in my entire life this last year. And 75% of it I didn't understand. But I knew that it was going into my heart, and it's beautiful when you ask God. He'll bring those scriptures up to you. He'll bring stories. So I was struggling with this certain sin that I kept returning to, and it was to the point where I was just disgusted with myself. I was like, I'm a believer. I love God. I've surrendered this stuff. I've turned it over to the Lord, but yet I keep coming back to it. So I just said, Lord, obviously I'm at my wit's end. Will you show me what it is that you have for me? What does freedom look like? And he reminded me of a story in Samuel. It also helps if you read the Bible right side up. Okay, so the story is when the Ark of the Covenant was taken from the Philistine. The Philistine army was fighting the Israelites, and they had conquered the Israelites in that battle, and they stole the Ark of the Covenant. And now they took that ark and they put it in the temple of their God. So this is where this story picks up. It says, after the Philistines had captured the ark of God, they took it from Ebenezer to Ashdod. Then they carried the ark into Dagon's temple and set it beside Dagon. When the people of Ashdod rose early the next day, there was Dagon fallen on his face on the ground before the ark of the Lord. They took Dagon and put him back in his place. But the following morning when they rose, there was Dagon, fallen on his face on the ground before the ark of the Lord. His head and his hands had been broken off and were lying on the threshold. Only his body remained. So I was asking God, what is the significance of that story? And I felt the Lord impress in my heart. He says, Matt, the sin that you're dealing with is there because it's become an idol in your life. And immediately I'm like, idol? Lord, I gave my life to you. I'm a Christian. I done VBS. I'm part of a church. I'm on a church staff. What do you mean, idol? He says, no, you've made it an idol, and you've tried to operate against it in your own strength, and that's why you failed. And I says, well, Lord, what do I do? And that's when he told me something really cool. And this is what started this conversation. He says, Matt, you need to put me in the room with it. Put me in the room with that. Anything in your life that you're struggling with, unless I'm there in front of it and it's in front of me, it'll just be back in its place the next day. And I was tired of it being put back in its place. And another thing, and I'll try to keep it short, the significance of the head and the hands being broken. The head is the power. When the head is removed, the body has no power. When the hands are broken, it has no grip. But when the body remains, it's a testament that something's been done. When you leave a body somewhere, it's for everyone else to see. And that's what I took. I said, Lord, I need you to break this idol in my life and leave the body there so that anytime the enemy tries to bring it back up, I can remind him that it's broken.
That's awesome. Well, thanks, Matt, so much for sharing that story. And I loved, give him a hand. I just love and so thankful for you to have the courage to step up. I know it's no small thing to come in front of people and to share personal things. And so, again, I thank you, Matt, for just living that life out. And this guy, if you get to know him, it's so beautiful because he reads the Word and he's taking it seriously. He's applying it to his life, and that story I just love. And again, just a reminder, he is the God of all gods, Jesus. And he will lay that other stuff down. That God got knocked over every time they set that thing back up. And it was a point for them to know, this: you're messing with the Creator God. You know. And again, this God is living in you, so there is power there. Look at verse 9 and 11 there. It says, seeing that you have put off the old self and its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge of the image of its Creator. Here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. And this is cool. We are being renewed in the image of its Creator. Things went wrong in the garden. We chose sin. We fell. And we got caught up, and it's been entangling us for years. But the reality now through Jesus Christ and the work is that he's renewing us. He's restoring us back to being able to walk and talk with God, to have fellowship with him, to be one with him. And so receive that this morning. We are literally in the process of being renewed. This is a process. None of this stuff happens just overnight really easily. It's like, you know that sin might come back up. You might have to make a choice again to put it off, you know, and put on Christ, you know, and then it comes up again. No, I'm not that anymore, right? But we're being renewed. This process is a renewing work in us to the image, because we are image bearers. We were made in the likeness of God. And this is what it truly means to be a Christian, to be Christ-like, to look like Jesus, to speak like Jesus, to live out like Jesus. That's why he gave us that command to go out. I've trained you. I've shown you how to do it. And now I've empowered you with the Spirit. I am in you. And now I need you to have my perspective. I need you to have my heart. I need you to have my hands and feet and go do the work of God and live under his authority over your life. And so we've got to get rid of sin. We got to deal with it. He's given us a process. Let's not live in denial. Let's just deal with it. Let's be done with it. Let's bring the Word of God against it. Let's pray. Let's get others to pray over us. Let's get free from that stuff. And then lastly here, we get to live out Christ-centered motives. And verses 12 through 14 here, just to get it going, is great. It says, put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassion hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgive each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. You know, to start this off here, we have a new nature. As God's chosen ones. Again, there's an identity that you need to understand about yourself. You're in Christ now, you're in God, and now you're an image bearer of him. I represent. So then, because of that, I start living out the way God wants me to live out my life. I start representing the things he cares about. I start speaking on his behalf because he's speaking to me the truth. And now I get to share the truth with others. I get to live it out. I get to model that. And so this new nature lived out in us, you know, it takes on context by the other things in your life. Let me be specific here. He's listing a bunch of stuff: compassion, hearts, kindness, patience, right? Meekness. He's listing some things off. Well, you know what? Patience makes sense when the atmosphere is impatient. So the context in your world, when impatience is coming up, and I'm an impatient person. I have a short temper for some reason. I hate this, especially with my wife. When I'm just short, way too quick, I'm like, it's awful. Like, I have no reason to be that. And so I recognize it. I put that off, and I put on, okay, because now this has context. I need to act in patience, not impatient. I need to apply patience. That's what God's about. That's how I represent him well in that. Same thing with, you know, like that verse, bear with each other. I think is the way the NIV says it. I love the New Living Translation. It says, make allowance for each other's fault. This one said, you know, when there's a complaint against another, you know, there's situations where we grind in life. There's just some disagreements. We just rub someone the wrong way. As a young Christian, that verse, I loved it in the New Living when it said, make allowance. What it was telling me, be ready to be wronged today. And be quick to make allowance for that to happen. In other words, just take it. It's okay. You're not going to die. It seems pretty wrong, but trust me, I know what you feel. Like Christ knows. He took all that on himself. He wants me to offer forgiveness instead. Just forgive him. Remember when he said, forgive them for they do not know what they do? Like, that's crazy. He's like, they don't even get it, so I'm still going to forgive it, even though they, you know, we think they totally know what they're doing. A lot of times, they're just stuck in their own sin. They don't really realize sometimes, and we don't realize sometimes what we're really doing until we pay attention to this internal life going on. All this stuff's internal this morning. Do you realize this? He's talking about your attitudes and your mind, your heart, your choices, the way you live out humility, okay? When is that important? When pride is showing up. You know, you're starting to get a little bit egotistical about something in your life, or your approach to something is really stuffing people out and pride is puffing up. That's not the way it says to live here. It says to live in humility. So I need to put that on. I need to get rid of this pride. It's one of the deadliest sins. It'll get you. So this stuff, again, takes on context into what your daily struggle is. I don't know. Just pay attention. These are beautiful words to you because now it's giving you something to look out for, something to pay attention to, kindness, an area where I could extend some kindness to someone when normally I would just walk by and not pay any attention. Someone's really struggling over there needing help lifting something. I can actually live out Christ right now by helping them. It's a beautiful thing. Look at verse 15 there. It says, first of all, let me just mention on that love. Love binds it all together. I can't, you know, there's a whole other teaching that really you could just go into about just the unconditional love of God. But it absolutely, everything needs to be done in the love of God. It's the motivator for your heart. The best, you know, we're talking about Christ-centered motives here. The best motive is to come out of the love of God towards someone. The reason I'm doing something is because of my love for God, and now he's telling me to love others, right? Why would I forgive someone? It's because I want to love them like God loves them. And for me to do that is to release them from this wrong and to just show love and forgiveness for them. And so that love there is really important, and it's like a glue that holds all this stuff together. So we want to learn about that love and live out of that love. But verse 15 there says, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. And so we got to live in unity. We need to be peaceful towards one another. It's so frustrating that this is like one of the biggest challenges for us as a church. It seems like we're not known well for loving each other well and living in unity. We're known more for division, judgment towards another, right? Like casting someone out or speaking bad towards others. Well, here we're being reminded again whether this is a rebuke on us this morning, a correction for us, a teaching for us, I mean, you take it for what it needs to be for you this morning. I'm thankful for all of that because I want to get this right, especially as a leader of this church. We need to be about each other. We are one body, he says. As long as I keep fighting, I'm fighting against myself. He's like, figure it out. You're going to fight against yourself. So I got to learn how to get better at being a peacemaker, being more forgiving, more patient. It is hard. It's like they keep giving me reasons to want to separate or be against, you know? And I'm like, so just more reason to keep forgiving and more patience, right? More Christ in me. I cannot do this on my own. This is all Christ in me. But he's saying, be at peace with one another. You are one body. You got to see yourselves that way. So live for unity. Live for unity with each other. I love this church that we try to strive to do that. We try hard to build bridges instead of burning them. I mean, sometimes we have to rebuild another one, but we'll try. You know, we want to try to honor the body of Christ as a whole. And then these last couple of verses here, verse 16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms, hymns, spiritual songs with thankfulness to your hearts to God. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. At the conference, this phrase got used of just get the word of God in you. Get this word of God in you. I love a book I read called Radical that in there I've always remembered a phrase. It's like giving the Holy Spirit a library to work with. If I've read it, it gives a chance because it's in there now. The Holy Spirit can remind me, oh, that's right, the Bible said, fill in the blank. It's wonderful. Like, give the Holy Spirit a library to work with in your heart. You know, Psalm 119, I've hidden God's word in my heart that I might not sin against you. And that's the idea here. You got to get this word of God dwells in us. This is your life breath right here. This is telling you where to go, what to do, what not to do. It's helping lead you, but it's all right here, and you got to read it. You have to read it. I'm telling you some of it, but you need to read more. There's more out there for you to know. And so get the word of God in you. Let it dwell in your heart. You know, we sing about it in our songs. A lot of these songs are speaking the scriptures to you. We sing, we share it with each other. We teach each other. Lastly, there it says, in whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And these last two verses here, as Ron's been letting us know, are kind of like memory verses for us. It's kind of like a theme and a summary verse really over the whole book is like all of this stuff, like everything we do now, let it all be for God. You know, it's all about him. It's like we work a job, yes, for a boss, but my real boss is God. Over that, I work for him, really. And so I'm going to be as the best representative as I can at work because I want to honor him. He's my boss. I work for him. I want to glorify God. All these things, these activities now that we're supposed to do, patience, humility, right? All that's for Jesus Christ, to honor him, to serve him, to glorify him. But I also love how it says, giving thanks to God the Father through him. All this is only possible, again, because Christ is in you. And since the reality is that you were raised with Christ, now your life is in Christ, right? Now we worship and glorify everything we do through Christ and for Christ. He is all and is in all, it said. And so this is powerful, life-changing stuff to you that will change your life if you start living in Christ. This is what he's moved you into. He's moved you into that kingdom of the Son, you know, in whom you have redemption and forgiveness of sins. Okay, he's transferred you there. Now he's trying to say, live this way. Here it is. This is what happens from here on for you. So take it this morning, reread it, you know, stay in this stuff because this is the practical stuff to you. I mean, as we're kind of closing here in prayer, really to you, I just say, get good at putting off things quicker. Don't linger when sin just, you know it's wrong. Like, confess that. Just move from it. Like I love Matt, just your honesty. I'm just done with that. I'm tired of that. Get that stuff off. And just start now getting better at the practice of putting this stuff on. You know, I am always reminded of that crazy little part in the Gospels when he says, you know, you expel this demon, but then seven worse come on because you didn't put anything else in there. It's like you can't just empty yourself of something. You got to fill yourself with the person of Jesus Christ who wants to dwell fully in you, okay? If we just say no, 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 well, another sin will come on or another one will come on. Get busy at doing this life in Christ. Just get involved with his work in you. And I'm telling you, this sin just doesn't fit anymore. It's distasteful. And so you'll move from it and you'll really, truly start living a maturing life in Christ. So let me pray as we close. So Jesus, I just ask that you you make this, you concrete this into our heart, this new thinking, this better thinking, this resolve to move from sin and death into the life that you're offering. You are such a good God, someone that's just pouring life into us. If we would only recognize it and see it for what it is and seek you with everything. Everything. I mean, make us less about these material things and more about you. Those are the things that are sustainable and that matter for us. So I'm thankful for this truth this morning. And some of it comes probably with conviction. Some of it comes maybe with a rebuke. It definitely comes in teaching us this morning and reminding us of the things that you're showing us. So Lord, may we take it seriously. Because this is the difference maker over our life. May your Spirit put all that to work and complete the work, as it says. You will bring it to completion in our life. So thank you that you do all of that and we don't have to do it on our own. I just have to cooperate and agree with you. Agree with your truth.